two-game touchline ban after what went on at Norwich?
I disagree with the two games. I think one game was sufficient enough. And so I don't know who's plucked that one, but I don't think it's right, two games for that.
Will it have a big impact on the day?
No, it shouldn't. You're a footballer, you imagine all you can do so much. Once players cross that white line, it's up to them to go and perform. So it shouldn't affect really too much.
You see the players beforehand, you see them at half time. I'm guessing you trust your staff.
Yeah, I think that's important for me, that the lads, I know they're in good hands with the lads in the dugout area, so I don't have a problem with that.
Be difficult sitting still for you though, won't it? We see you all action on the touchline.
Yeah, no, I'll probably have my moments again at certain times, but that's I think two games for that is too much.
Have you never been a manager that considered sitting in the stands for the first half? Some managers do, don't they? They sit up there, see it from a different viewpoint, then go down at half time.
I think it's everybody's prerogative how they want to do it. I don't like being detached from it. I like being in the action of it. And but I have to take the hit that's coming.
Yeah, no plans to appeal. It's done and dusted.
It's not going to get you anywhere. It's people make up their mind. As I said before, there's a lot of things that went on there that's been bypassed.
And in terms of your squad, is James Collins back? He's missed the last few games.
He's training. He's doing well training. Whether this one's a bit early, I don't know. Chambers is training. We'll see how he is tomorrow. So we've still got that bug going about. One or two of the lads are still feeling a little bit of that, and we'll have to see how they are.
Is that why Flynn Downs and Ellis Harrison missed out last week? Are they all right?
Ellis is hurt his hamstring at the minute, but he's doing okay. Not bad. Flynn definitely had it during the Derby game, and then all of a sudden it kicked in after that, and he couldn't play. But he's a lot better this week.
Last week it was a rare sight. Cole Skew's on the bench. Mm. He's not done that often the last few years. Did he accept the decision? I'm sure he did, Cole.
He'd the virus as well. He'd missed all week with it, and had sickness as well. The lads had performed well, so there was no real need for me to kind of change too much. So, but Cole was just coming back from that. He did bug as well. So it was a big ask actually to put him on the bench, let alone anything else. But I decided to put him on just for his presence as well. But he wasn't still 100%.
Such an onus on the young talent coming through here. Mm. We've spoken a lot the last few weeks, and a few lads handed new contracts. Did DeCole and Luke Chambers, players like that, still have a part in the future of Ipswich Town, do you think?
Well, they're paramount, them lads. They I don't think there's better role models, I think, anywhere they need to, for the way they are as guys, first and foremost, but as professional footballers. They conduct themselves brilliantly. They train really well. They're at the later stages of their career. And it's no nice when you get a bit older and you have to look over your shoulder what's coming, because you know something's coming. And I've been there, seen it, done it. And the biggest decision they lads have to make, and whenever they ever do stop, if they ever stop, is what they do next with their own careers. But you can never, there's one thing you'll never beat, and one thing will never, or what does erode is time. You never beat time. Time always catches at some point. But as in lads run about the club and still playing for me, they've got massive part to play in that. They won't always play every single game, because age or injury does get you at some stage. But as role models and as guys to look up to, then I wouldn't swap them for anybody.
So when the time comes, do you see coaches or future managers in those two?
I think the another two lads have done brilliant for the football club. Whether they remain part of the club, I think it's a great idea. Whether it's young coaches or ambassador roles or whatever the case may be, I think it's important for the club to look at that.
New deal this week for Corey Ndaba. What do you like about him as a player?
The club lost a couple of left foot or centre halves, or the lad that went to Bristol City, and I thought we need a left foot or centre half, and then the lad Clark goes to Portsmouth, who's doing really well, and I think, well, it's impossible there's another young one that I think's got a chance. And I think Corey's got better and better. He's trained with us, and he's never let himself down. He's only a kid. Left foot is very, very good, and once he gets a little bit more body strength, he's going to be a good one.
Real opportunity at centre half, the likes of him or Luke Wolfen, yeah. Isn't it, going forward with the likes of Luke Chambers and James Collins, mid 30s, mm-hmm. Matt Pennington going back in the summer, mm-hmm. and question marks over Jonas. There is a gap there for these boys.
The club's got to have a pathway, Brennan. It's got to have, there's no point in have young players coming through and there's no pathway there for them. They've got to have that. And I think it's great for the club that they've got as many as what they've got. There's a good chunk of them there that could make an impact somewhere along the line. And I think it bodes well for the future with it. I think, as I said to you before, I don't think the club can keep going and loaning players. And it's okay, one or two, as I say. Not five and six. That's too much. And then it blocks the pathway of young players. So the decision we have to make is, what's the pathway for the young man? Do we have that pathway or we don't? And I would rather have some sort of pathway for them where there's a carrot dangling for them to go and get it. And hopefully a few of them go and grab it.
At what point do you speak to the likes of Will Keane or Alan Judge about their future? Is it purely once you know what division you're going to be in, does it have to be on hold till then?
Do you know, that's probably the fullest thing for my mind at the minute because of the games. They two have been brilliant. I think the front three, the Quinn and Keane and Judge, are playing ever so well for us at the minute. And they're getting game time. Their game time's getting built up as well, which is great. And I think the lads that you just mentioned there is, I think they're enjoying their football at the minute. I think I don't want to annoy them or see what happens. Just let them enjoy the football and let them see if they can keep on helping us the way they're doing.
I guess the concern is if they play well, which you want them to, it will alert other championship clubs to their availability maybe in the summer.
That's football. That's the way the wheel turns. You have to accept that. They come here and they great. You know the consequence. I'd rather them do great and lose them than do poor and things go against them. So yeah, they've done. I think they've done great for us.
Do you already have to start to formulate two plans for the summer? What if we're in the Championship, and another for what if we're in League One? Is that the way it kind of works for you now over the next couple of months?
Yeah, I think that's. I don't think you can have one eye only in one. And the realism is we have to look at both scenarios of what's happening. But we're still well in this fight. There's still 13 games to go. So I'll have a lot of points to play for. We've got two big games coming up. But if we keep playing the way we have, then and we get a bit of break at certain times, and we do keep performing, then hopefully we can win.
Yeah, two good draws against two good sides in the last couple of matches, but I guess now it's time to kick on, isn't it?
Yeah, well, playing well enough. I think the lads know what's at stake. They're playing well enough. They're at it, and yeah, you just hope, as I said before, just hope time doesn't go against us.
I was going to say, do you think things are coming together, clicking quickly enough?
Well, lads are getting better, they're getting fitter as well, as I said to you before. When you bring in loan lads at that January window time, especially a lot of them, you're getting them for a reason, whether their clubs want them to have game time or lads come back from injury. They haven't played much football, and the lads, every one of them, are getting fitter and getting better, and I think you can see the quality in them, that they're really good players.
Do you think it's going to be the lowest tally needed this season to finish fourth from bottom?
I think so. I think the way the league is, I think that's definitely, yeah, that could be a main factor.
Which must add to the hope.
Well, absolutely. Listen, Wales are hope. You keep going. You don't go against it. I mean, I keep saying to you every week, this is a football club that it's strange because the atmosphere is unbelievable at it. And the home games, I've not seen anything like it. The way they're right behind you and you're sitting bottom. So everybody believes we can do it. If we keep showing the same fight and the same hunger and the passion for everything, then let's see what happens.
Wigan at home must have been a special moment for you, your first win as Ipswich Town manager.
It's a tough game. We played really well in the for about an hour. I think then the tiredness and that kicks in is normal, but I think we played pretty good on that given day. And the win's a win. I think that was the relief of it, is just get the win and then move on to the next one and hope that can happen Saturday.
I suppose one of the issues this season has been that wins haven't been backed up, and that makes a heck of a difference, doesn't it, if you can get 6 points out of six at any point.
Well, if we can do that in the next few weeks, then great. But as I said before, we're not a team looking like as if we're clutching at things and we look disorganised and we look as if where's the next one come from. We're more than capable of winning games we were playing, and that's a great thing. I think the fans believe in it. We believe in it. We can go and win games, and yeah, let's see what happens.
You must see these two as a real opportunity, mustn't you, to pick up points?
Every game I go into, I think I can win. or I think I can pick up points, whether it's Stoke or Derby, who are two big clubs, or whether it's Reading and Wigan, and no disrespect to them too, but I think anybody goes into a game thinking they can win. I don't think anybody goes in and thinks they can draw or lose. I think the main mindset is we go and try and win.
Because these teams will be scrapping as much as you for points, won't they?
Yeah, you have to earn the right. We have to earn the right to win games. As I said before, the big thing for me is we're playing well. And that's the thing, that we go with confidence, we go with self-belief that we can win.
Thanks, Paul.
All right.
I suppose, Paul, the next two matches, this is where the expression relegation six-pointers came from. It sums it up, doesn't it? I guess from your perspective, defeat's unthinkable, given it would just make what you're trying to achieve so much more difficult.
Yeah, listen, winning is a great habit to get any. If you get winning, get momentum, it's a great thing. And as I said before, playing wise, I couldn't ask any more the way they're playing. Take our chances, but we're well in the game. We've got a hell of a fight amongst us at the minute. And if we keep doing what we're doing, then let's see what happens.
You said hopefully your Sachsenhagen ban won't have too much of an impact on these two matches, but I guess if you handpicked two games that you really want to be on the sidelines getting involved in, it would be two massive games in the context of the season.
Yeah, but I think it's an easy option for a player to hide behind. The player, once a player's out there, it shouldn't matter who's in there in the dugout. It shouldn't matter who's there to him. The job is to try and win for the football club. It's and the supporters that come and watch us, that's the main objective. Whether I'm there or not, it doesn't matter, really. If they hide behind that, then there's a problem. You can't hide behind anything. You have to do your own job, and you do it the best you can. And hopefully you get that result.
Interesting, isn't it? So you take the sport of rugby, for instance. You know, their coaches often do sit in the stands, don't they? But then it gives them a different sort of perspective on things. But a touchline ban probably wouldn't hurt a rugby coach, but in football it's perceived to be a punishment.
Yeah, I think it's two totally different sports. I don't know too much about rugby or anything like that, or the international scene. And so I can't really comment on that. Football's... I guess it's individual. Some people might be comfortable up there, some people aren't. I don't like sitting up there. I like being involved in the mix. And but I said before, I have to take the hat, and that's where it is.
On reflection, do you wish you'd handle things differently on the day so that you wouldn't be forced to sit out the next couple of matches?
The Nordic thing? Yeah. Do I wish I could handle it? Nah, I'd do it all again.
You would?
Yeah, because I was right. And I'll stick up for the team, and I'll stick up for the club. Because I was right. That's why I don't have any regrets on it. No chance.
A manager shouldn't rise above it to set the right example, maybe?
Some might, some won't. I won't. I won't take it. I won't, I tell you say before, I won't let anybody belittle the club. And I won't let anybody, no matter who it is. I won't stand for what I heard there. And I won't stand for being manhandled by somebody who I haven't a clue who it was. I said before. I was certainly going to take that again.
Did you get any answers about that? Because obviously you were very unhappy with, I know you wrote to the FA, you kind of gave your perspective.
Yeah.
Does anything come of that?
As in, what do you mean? As in, back from who? From?
Well, because I know you were unhappy about, what happened with the steward and the way you were being manhandled.
Yeah.
You made your points clear. But is that now put to bed, or is that still ongoing?
I've not heard anything. I don't. You asked me my opinion on it. So as I said before, I won't stand there and let anybody try and do that as again. We never have any like that here. I've not seen that before. Why did I have a police escort or a police guy in the tunnel? First ex-rich manager have a police guy in the tunnel looking after me for 6-7 years or whatever it is. Doesn't make sense. Because it makes noise. Doesn't make sense. So, yeah, the answer to your question, yeah. I would do it all again, yeah.
Stuart Taylor will be the man leading from the touchline for you in your absence. Tell us a little bit about Stuart, because he seems to bring the same energy to the party that you do. He's jumping around just as much as you are on match days.
I don't really pay attention to him. And, I see him sometimes floating around there in the... If you ask me, can he handle it? There's no problem. No problem. Gilly will be the same, there's no problem. Jimmy will be the same. There's no an issue with the lads on that front, you know. And the lads, the players are great guys to work with. They know the level that we try and get to. They know the intensity we try and get to. So as I said before, players will hide behind it if things go wrong. And if they think, if we win and all that, they might think it's a great idea. You stay up in the stand and things like that. So, yeah, players are great for making things up, you know.
What's your working relationship with Stuart like?
Great, lads. They're close knit, and we'll discuss things like anybody else, and then ultimately I'll say, you know, we'll do this or do that. So, but more important, I can trust everyone. Forget everything else, I trust them, and that's for me is important. That I can trust people that I know will work really hard, and we'll try everything that you can to succeed. This, I think that's important.
Someone that challenges your opinions at times? Is he someone that's good to bounce off of? What are you like as a duo? How do you operate?
Yeah, but he'll lose. he'll lose. No, we as a staff, we discuss everything. Like, we all do. And everybody will have their stake in it to see what they want to say. And then ultimately, Scotty, it's okay, we go this way. This is what we're doing. And then everybody accepts it. And then that's... I never blame anybody, nothing. We try and do what we think is best for the football club and for the team. And then I'll never. The lads can probably have opinions of what they want to think, and then I'll just say, okay, we go this way.
The true work is done in the build up to a game. It's done here on the training pitch, isn't it? By the time you get to 3 o'clock. The work should be done by then, I guess, as a manager, isn't it?
There's nothing you can. The lads know everything that goes on. They know everything that's they want to try and achieve. And match day, really, it's just basically being ready for the game. That's sometimes if you keep on speaking, it's in one ear and out the other all the time, and it's no good in certain aspects. So Saturday's probably easy up until 3, then it becomes difficult.
Anthony Pilkington at Wigan is someone that you came very close to signing. I think there was, you know, complications in terms of things going on with him personally behind the scenes. It wasn't just as simple as missing out on a player, was there, at the time with Anthony, for financial reasons or whatever?
No, Pilks I know really well, and we tried to see if he would come in, and I think he wanted to go nearer home. I think he's from that neck of the woods. And you have to respect what he wants to do, and so that's basically how it kind of transpired. But I don't have any ill feeling against it. That's what happened.
And it was a scrappy victory, a win's a win. You kind of use that phrase against them there. As much as you're trying to play good football at the moment, would you be more than happy for your team to go to war and scrap out a win that way?
You have to. I think you have to do that. You have to fight for everything that's coming. I think if you can do it by playing great, great. If you don't and you get a win, nobody's really going to matter. Or we just have to try and get that win.
We've been talking about Cole Skews and Luke Chambers. They're paramount to the future of this football club. Luke's contract is up. There's the option there. A discussion started on that. Mm-hmm. What's the situation?
No, we've spoke about it, and I think Marcus is going to speak to Luke as well, so which is good. I think that's important. Luke knows everything that's going on. I know most of the things that's going on. Marcus knows, Lee knows, everybody knows what's going on. So I think Marcus will speak to him. I know they've had discussions of what's going on moving forward, so which is good.
Because he said he wants to be here, this club is to go down, he wants to be here and be the captain to try and lead Ipswich Town back. From your point of view, it sounds like you want him to be here as well, but his experience is going to be key.
Well, it's vital, absolutely. You've got to have that experience as well around the club. Going back to the two lads that Brennan mentioned, they've been great. I said I can't think of two more lads, good lads to have around the place to help the younger ones.
There'll be 33, I think, both of them at the start of next season, but you've got to have that mix. I know people have enjoyed the youthfulness and the vibrancy of the last two performances, but to suddenly say that you don't need any experience?
No. It's impossible. You need everybody, not just whether there's youth there or not, and you need that little calm in head at certain times. Whether the lads start games or whether they're on bench or whether they're round about the place, it's paramount. Young players might think they know everything that goes on in the game, and you tend to find there's a little bit more to it than just playing football at times. You have to learn how to live right and do the right things and keep your feet in the ground. And they lads have had unbelievable careers. So that's why I say there's no better role models than them to look at, you know. My thing is the time at 33, nobody knows how long the lads can go, but you'll never beat time. It always catches you. It doesn't matter who, it doesn't matter you, it's going to get you. You'll chuck it one day and you'll be like Mel, and he's 94. So and then you're like, what am I going to do? So that's the difficulty as you get older. It's a big, when your career comes to an end, you know it's coming to an end, or it's a few years down the line, you're like, what am I going to do next? They're going to management, or they're going to youths, or they're going to ambassador role, or things like that. But the club has got two great guys there, I think. It's important.
Do you remember you obviously made your debut at a very young age, came through at a young age, how important those type of players were to you at the start of your career?
Listen, I played with guys that were unbelievable. Unbelievably hard, battle hard, and incredible things I saw in dressing rooms that were unbelievable for a young player to see. But what it did, they made me unbelievably hard and really strong in the head. And thankfully, I did play with these guys, Brian Gallagher, Jimmy Rooney, Billy Abercrombie, Tony Fitzpatrick, my God. Frank McIverney was there. Frank was just leaving for West Ham. Jim Stewart, Campbell Murray, Neil Cooper, really hardened guys. They were really good players. And I also know if I messed around, I was getting one, you know. I was getting a backhander, so I didn't take that. But I tell you what, I wouldn't have changed it for the world. I wouldn't have changed it. I used to... Their boots had to be spotless. The dressings had to be spotless. Unbelievable jobs we had to do. But what an upbringing it was. It gave me great discipline, which was great. And great respect for the older players. And thankfully, I'm so glad that was a group of players I could brought up with. You know, and they're a big part of my career.
Yeah. And on the flip side, at the end of your career, you're trying to squeeze every last drop out of it at that point. Does it mean that much more to you that, you know, every game is getting towards your last game at that point?
Well, I knew I was going to retire. I had a little problem with my ankle, and one or two guys kind of went by me. I thought wouldn't have done it a year ago, and I knew then it was time to go. The big thing you've got is you have to make that decision to say, okay, it's enough, or I can keep going. And at 35, I thought it's enough. I had a great career, great playing career, great times, great success. One of the biggest things in Europe. I couldn't ask any more of myself, really. But I think that all stemmed from my upbringing. But when your career's coming to the end, then you have to think, well, what do? Do you get into, as you said, management, coaching, or television, or journalism, or what? It's difficult for a player, really, really difficult.
Cole and Luke seem to be the players that have had very few injuries between the two of them. They've been very durable players. They should be, on their records, players that could go for at least another year, if not more, you would think.
Oh, easily. Listen, absolutely. They could go on for another few years, 100%. They could. The guys, I think, the way they live. That's why I think they're great role models. I think the way they live, the way they conduct themselves. They train every day. They very rarely miss training unless it's something illness or severe. They're really fit guys. They could play for a hell of a lot, a few years. But the end is a lot shorter now than what they did start when they were 19 or 18 or 17, whatever age you were. So I said, you can never beat time. Time always catches you.
Good luck, Sam.
Right, thanks.
And Hughes and Tom
Adeyemi,
any progress with
them? They're doing okay. It's still way off. Still way. I think they're in a better place, I think. It's frustrating as anything, I think, for the guys. Forget anything else, I think, just for them too. It's frustrating for them too.
not to be on the grass or anything. I'm not even training with us at all. Emir's, Tom done a little bit of a run. Amir's done a little bit with the physio and things like that. So it's still a long way away.
Is that probably not this season?
I don't know. I really don't know. Sometimes I think the lads are getting back, and then all of a sudden it breaks down, and you can put pressure on them. But hopefully they're going to be okay.
You mentioned one or two young centre halves. Chris Smith, where's he at the moment?
In the building.
Yeah.
No. I think there's decisions on kids getting made, and the club are looking at different things. We have to look at lads that we think are conscious are coming really close to the end, and things that are guys that we think are not going to do it, or. I think that's ongoing at the minute, but so discussions on every young player's ongoing.
In fact, someone went out on trial to Wigan, didn't they? Conor McKendry and Daniel Webber.
Pat?
Webber.
Yeah. You get development lads. You don't know who's going to develop quicker, you don't know who's going to develop slower. You just have to make a real judgment of who you think is going to make an impact in your squad or who can push the older ones every time. An older player or an experienced player has to have somebody looking. You have to look over your shoulder to what's coming. But it's a guy coming into the club or a young player coming through. You think this guy can be really good. As I said before, we can't block the pathway of young players here because one, I think the supporters will take to it because it will identify as their own. And you heard the reception Bishop got the other day. It was Flint's the same, Dizelle's the same, Lancaster's the same, Kenlock, they're all the same. They've all been brought up with it, so it's a great thing to have with it. But the club has got to have a pathway for young guys coming through. The development of different players are going to go quicker or going to go slower. That's but you have to call it the way you see it at that moment. Do you think they can make it or do you think they can't?
And Aaron Dryden, you sent him out online. Yeah.
Yeah, there is that. Yeah, I know Ben Morris is obviously in Fulham are injured, which is a little blow with the two kids. But basically that's what it's down.
Did you sort of tell him to go out and score as many goals as he can to sort of impress you?
There is that, but it's not just about the goal scoring. It's how they are as kids as well. Aaron's a really good kid, really nice kid. That's one thing. The kids here are really nice, really really nice guys. Never really any issues with them at all, but football's a game where some people can overtake you really quick if you become static. Football doesn't wait for you. Football owes you nothing. It owes you absolutely nothing, football. It's a great game, but it owes you nothing. You have to earn the right to get it, and you have to be hungry to get it. Aaron definitely needs to go out and play. There's no point in just staying here and training. It doesn't help anybody. All right.
All right.
See you later on. See you later.